Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
P&E.
What's P&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Breaking news this morning coming down out of Beantown that according to multiple reports now, first one by Adrian Wojnarowski, that Boston Celtics team president Danny Ainge strongly considering stepping down of president of basketball operations in Beantown. He's been in that role since 03, 18 years.
Think he's considering stepping down, or are they considering him stepping down?
I wish I was, are you retiring or are you being retired?
Yeah, really.
But yeah, the Celtics got beat by the Nets last night. James Harden had a 34-point triple-double. He was pretty incredible. That team is, they're easy to root against because of some of the stuff, you know, James Harden and his way of getting there, and Kyrie Irving, some of the things he does and says, and, you know, Kevin Durant. But man, when they're going, and that series took five games, and they just blistered through Boston.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, gosh, they had the night, but they had a 40-point score, a 39-point score last night, a 34-point triple-double, and as they said, they run, you got Kevin Durant running pick and roll with another seven-footer. That's just like, what are we going to do with that? I mean, defensively.
And then they just started doing that. Kevin Durant and the big guy started doing that
together.
They haven't
played together much. I mean,
what the hell is that?
Steve Nash was like, hey, let's try this. Let's try that, man. It's good to see all you guys together. Steve Nash has been managing that ship without his full cast for the whole season.
You know, yeah, I would have said earlier in the morning, but I'm sorry I missed out. I wanted to say, and from our show, to say goodbye to Addie Broyles, who's hanging it up for the Austin American Statement, or the food writer, the beat writer for all the different.
Yeah, she's come in all the time.
Yeah, she's hanging it up after 13 years, and wishing her well, whether it's cookies or steaks or hamburgers. She did it with a big old smile on her face. She's got a wonderful picture Austin 360 today. And to Addie, thank you very much. I'm the guy who reads the hard copy, so I read about her all the time, and I see her picture all the time. So I enjoyed her stuff about food in Austin in general. She did a great job.
Yep, good Austin.
Big shoes to fill right there for sure.
Yeah, Addie Broyles over at the Statesman.
Yep.
She used to come in quite a bit and give us some advice and cool little anecdotes, and that was always good to visit with her. And best of luck to her and her future endeavors. But yeah, absolutely on that. But Buck, it's interesting in the NBA on the other games. You had LeBron James. You know, he'll get blamed for the game, but he scored 25 points. The rest of their starting five scored 11. I mean, he's got no help right now with no Anthony Davis. That was embarrassing last night. They had two starters score 0 points. Zero. Like, how do you do that?
I'm like, who are those people?
Well, Dennis Schroeder's a good player. He's got to do better than that. But two of the starters scored 0. One guy scored 7. One guy scored 4 around LeBron James. They had Kyle Kuzma come off the bench and score 15, but that game was 30 at the half. I think LeBron showed up last. I don't think the rest of the Lakers did.
Yeah, but this is, you know, and then people will say, well, this is the great LeBron James. He's supposed to be able to do this and carry a team. He can't carry that team for sure. And LeBron's not, as I said, he's not going to be 45 points. He's not going to come out of nowhere and score 50 some night. He needs somebody.
Not at this point.
No. Those days are coming
and gone. I think LeBron would admit that too. And that's why getting Anthony Davis to be the cornerstone of the team was huge. LeBron is the two now. I mean, LeBron's the second guy when Anthony Davis is there and playing great. And it's no coincidence that, you know, when Anthony Davis got hurt during the regular season is when their sink began. And now in these playoffs, in games he's been played well, they've been good. And now when he's not there, they really have no chance whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, he'll do – this part of his career, LeBron James can do good with another star with him on a good team. This is not even a good team. That's not a good team.
You know, Dennis Schroeder's been a good player. Kyle Kuzma's a decent player. But, they didn't have much last night. That was a weak effort, to say the least. And how about this? You know, we talked about Damian Lillard and what he did last night with 55 points and a losing effort in double overtime. So in the OTs, how about this, Isaiah? 6 for 8, 17 points in the two overtimes. 6 for 8, 17 points. The rest of his teammates scored 2 in the two overtimes.
Well, that's why is he not taking the last shot?
Well, they went 1 for 14. It wasn't like he was taking all the shots. They couldn't make anything. But you're right. Why didn't he take the last shots?
Yes.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Where's the help? And you mentioned it, Zay. CJ McCollum did not have a good night in a big spot for them.
No, he didn't at all. And today's the day that
people or kids are going to go out there and try every single shot that Dame Lillard shot today and play horse, because that's how ridiculous he was last night. And yeah, that's a brutal loss for them, because again, I just don't get how the Trailblazers are struggling so much in this series. But you got to give praise to Nikola Jokic. Like, he's the MVP for a reason. They have nothing to stop him, man. If you can't win a game where Dame scores 55, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, and that's when we know percentages in a 2-2 series in a best of seven, that winner of game five, it's almost always the swing game. I think it's 80% of the time the winner of that game goes on to win the series. And so Phoenix and Denver take control. Brooklyn ended theirs. Mavericks tonight, here we are 2-2. They're going to play the LA Clippers tonight as part of another NBA night, playoff action. And we'll see if the Mavericks can get back into the mix. But, Zay, what needs to change for Dallas? We know they came home feeling good about themselves with two wins. Clippers made some adjustments. As you said, got Zubac off the floor. Kawhi and Ben Leonard played great, got their teammates involved. What is Rick Carlisle's counterpunch, if he has one?
Porzingis just has to dominate, simple and plain. If he dominates to where they can't guard him in the post and stop shooting those fadeaway jumpers all the time, then they have a chance. I don't really know how healthy Luka's going to be tonight, but if he's laboring around there at 80% or whatever Rick Carlisle says he is, then I don't think it matters anyway.
Well, when you can't move that side of your body, like your neck, we've all had that where we slept wrong, and you can't, no matter what you do, you can get as much treatment as you want to, but that thing's going to take its time, and you can't turn to the left, that's a problem, because I'm going to make you turn that way all night long. I'm going to push you that way. I'm going to body you. I'm going to make you hurt. They just need to stop Luka. I mean, he's the guy they need to stop. And once again, Zay, I believe you can give the others what they need. But Luka with 14 points or something, they're not going to win if he's only scores 14. No. They're probably not going to win if he scores 20, right?
No. I mean, he's got to be healthy. And he's right about Porzingis being the two. And then Tim Hardaway Jr. and other guys have to have nice nights. But, yeah, it starts and ends with Luka. He dominates the ball. He's facilitating 85% of their offense when he's on the floor. And so he's got to be good, either distributing or scoring, and we've seen him over 38 points in every game. So we'll see what to expect tonight. But obviously, as we just said, a 2-2 series locked up. Game 5, typically the swing game. Mavericks will play that tonight. Also, the Knicks. Can the Knicks get back against the Hawks? That series feels like it's going Atlanta's way.
What are you talking about? We're the New York Knicks.
Down 3-1, right?
We'll spit on you. We'll throw things at you.
Made Trae Young mad.
Come on. Yeah, why did they do that?
Exactly.
Why would you do that? Why do you need to make that dude mad?
All right, so there's your basketball. We'll get you picks on that before the end of the hour. We also had the college football news. We told you good news for Texas in that Steve Sarkisian, linebacker, they've added, four or five new linebackers through the transfer portal. They know they're trying to shore up that spot, and they got one back. Dele Adeoye coming back. I don't know how big of an impact he can have. He's only started 10 games as a Longhorn, and in the games he started, he's kind of looked, a little stiff at times, to where he just doesn't flow like they need him to flow as a Big 12 linebacker.
Got to have him for depth.
But he's coming back. I don't know if he just changed his mind, because he put his name in the transfer portal like 6 days after Steve Sarkisian was named the coach.
Didn't hear any action.
This is way back January 8th. And maybe he didn't hear the calls he wanted, because once you put your name in the portal, you can be contacted. I don't know, but here he is withdrawing his name. Now, Texas they've already issued his number 40 to one of the incoming players, one of the freshman class.
Uh-oh.
So he's either, I don't know what that means.
That means he's not getting it back.
Maybe
you
not.
You said you were gone, or you were thinking about leaving.
Yeah, I don't know how that plays out, but the Longhorns are also after a cornerback from Tulsa, University of Tulsa, who originally was from McKinney, Texas. 6'2", 290-pounder named Caleb
Evans. I think he's a good player. I watched a lot of Tulsa. I got to look at some of that. I think that was a big, tall guy,
Rangy.
Really, really long. He wasn't a speed guy, but he was hard to get around because he was so long.
Technician of a corner. Well, he was out in Texas campus yesterday, according to orangebloods.com. Jason Sukumel over here had that report that, according to his sources.
Tulsa had a pretty salty defense last year. You take that guy.
Yeah, and then your kid that was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals. But, yes, so Caleb Evans, we'll watch for that. Apparently, according to Sukumel's report at orangebloods.com, it's a Texas-Missouri battle. Notre Dame is on his list, Texas Tech is on his list, and Jackson State, home of one Deion Sanders. So we'll keep an eye on that young man. But it was a big day in college football for the Georgia Bulldogs, and this is one that'll get headlines because 2 5-star players are transferring to Georgia. But, for Kirby Smart, there's risk with both of them. Eric Gilbert is a tight end who a couple years ago, class of 2020, was one of the top recruits in the nation. One of these, you know, freaky tight end, you know, tall guy that can run the whole
bit. Like freaky pitch?
Yeah, I don't know if he's freaky like that, but that's kind of the mold. And he went to LSU and decided he wanted to transfer there. Had 35 catches for 368 yards, 2 touchdowns last season. You know, and we've already had LSU fans saying he's a problem in your locker room. He's a locker room problem. And remember, he entered the portal, Eric Gilbert did. Then he committed to Florida at late January. And then he decommitted from that. And now he's committing to Georgia. Now, he is from Marietta, Georgia, originally. So we'll see. LSU fans saying be careful. And then the other player that committed yesterday, this is a big one. This is a cornerback from Clemson who was an all-ACC first-team corner for Dabo Swinney named Darian Kendrick, five-star prospect, class of 2018, and has played to that level, but he also has had off-field issues. According to this report at 24/7, he was benched twice last year by Dabo Swinney for behavior issues, and then this offseason was arrested in his hometown of Rock Hill, South Carolina. He was asleep in his car with a gun in his lap. And
bring him on!
And now he's going to Georgia. Wow. But he can play. I mean, he's on the field. He's good, but it does seem like both guys could be locker room issues. Kirby Smart needs to, he's got, I don't think pressure's mounting is the wrong way to put it, but they're looking for Kirby to deliver.
You're saying Nick Saban's about to get him fired too?
I don't think he fired Kirby because he's recruiting so well and they're playing. And I mean, they just.
But he can't beat Nick.
Well, they coughed up that national title. I mean, it was there for him. They had it.
Well, I'll take the questionable type of kid I'll take right now is the one who's confused. The one who enters the portal, comes back out of the portal. The ones that go to a school and say, you know what? I really didn't get a chance to investigate this school. I didn't get on campus. I'm ready to leave. Those kids, that's a semi-excuse enough for me to take a chance on. The guys who are falling asleep with guns in their laps and things like that, I really have to investigate, you know?
Yeah.
You just do.
Yeah, I mean, as we've talked about, a lot of the classes, this last year's class, committed sight on, like they'd never been on the campus before because of COVID and the restrictions. And
yeah, so they were winging
a prayer kind of thing.
Right.
You know, obviously, most of us visited the college we attended at least one time before we step foot on it, find out where we're going to live and what it looks like and where things are. Most of those, that class of 2021 did not have, or 2020 did not have that opportunity.
Right.
And so you could understand a guy like Eric Gilbert getting to LSU and say, well, this isn't what I expected.
Right, of course.
And so we'll see. Good luck to him. And then if that pans out, and those are 2 5-star players, and Georgia's already extremely talented, and they're one of the picks to click in the SEC this year with JT Daniels at quarterback, adding 2 really talented players. But they also could go the other way, too, because behavior issues could crop up. We'll see.
Yeah, I got to talk to Jeff Howe about how this works with the camps. When this open season of June and kids coming for official visits and them having camps and how many they can attend and how do they afford it. There's some kids whose family have had some struggles through COVID and have lost jobs. I don't know how you send a kid to a $600, $700 camp and send them to 4 or 5 of those deals when you're not making any money. That'll be interesting because...
And travel. To get there.
Well, if it's an official visit, the school will pay for it.
Correct.
But I don't understand how you... Who pays for the camp? I kind of remember back in the day, there were some scholarships to certain camps.
We're going to waive your entry fee to the camp, young man.
I just remember somehow, some way, there were a couple guys that got at camps that had some waivers, if you know what I mean.
Well, you're having a camp. There are going to be plenty of paying campers, and we can reserve a couple of spots for non-paying campers who we would like to get up close with. That maybe can't afford the
I wonder
freight.
I wonder how they do that. Is that allowed, or is that going to be, or is it just what it is? We have some scholarships available.
Yeah, for as a camper. I think everyone is still navigating the new normal because it's the dead period's over. Players can visit campus, but coaches can't go visit players, and that's still not allowed. That's not till the fall.
So they got to come to you.
They got to come to you, and that's where when the Tulsa kid's here yesterday, that's probably a good indication that he's seriously interested in the Longhorns. If his first visit was to Austin.
And you're right. They're not taking 5 trips just for the hell of it anymore.
Well,
they're going to be real interested.
Well, there's only so many weekends or weeks in the summer, right? There's stuff going on. And so we'll see. It's all out. And, you know, everyone's going to kind of follow along here how this goes the next couple of months. The Longhorns do begin their summer workout program today. They're going to practice Tuesday and Thursday all summer long and then until fall camp begins. So we'll keep our eyes on that, too, as You know, college football heats up. And I would double back to Kirby Smart. If you think about that, Buck, Kirby Smart lost that championship game, or the team lost, when they had Alabama beat. I mean, they had Alabama beat. And they give up. Remember, they sacked Tua. They got him at third down, and they give up the touchdown pass in overtime. Yeah. They got this game won. And that was brutal. I mean, that was on top of the Atlanta Falcons coughing up the Super Bowl to the Patriots, up 28-3.
Feeling that pressure now.
And, you know, Dan, yeah. Because last year they barely beat Cincinnati in that bowl game. And then Luke Fickell's game management in their bowl game was just terrible. Cincinnati should have won that game, in my opinion. And they, of course, lost to Texas a couple years ago in the Sugar Bowl. Where's Kirby Smart?
He should be in the thick of things in the college football race for a national championship. And it's going to be the usual suspects. You can be assured of this. The kid from Clemson, we've seen him play. He's good enough at quarterback, and they're going to have a boatload of kids still at Clemson. They'll be back in the thick of things. Notre Dame will be somehow back into it because they're Notre Dame, Alabama. It's
Ohio
the usual.
State.
Ohio State, dude, is loaded again. You know, they got the best wide receivers in pro football.
In pro football. Gilbert from, what's his name? From Lake Travis. Garrett Wilson. And I'm thinking Garrett Gilbert. No, Garrett Wilson. And then, Brian Olave is there still as well, I believe, at Ohio State. But who's going to fling it to him? You know, Justin Fields is gone. I mean, they're going to have to bring in the heir apparent, there. And that's when I go back to Kirby Smart and say, is there pressure mounting on a coach that has his team in the mix every year?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no doubt that he chose the wrong quarterback when he didn't build around Justin Fields.
Right.
And built around, who was the quarterback you didn't like so much?
Oh, God. Fromm.
Jake Fromm. Jake from State Farm.
Jake from State Farm was their quarterback, and I knew they couldn't get it done.
I mean, they had Justin Fields sitting there. And I know this is the transfer portal, but you got to make the right call on that and allowed him to skip away. And mm-hmm. they did bring JT Daniels in, so they have a quarterback, the kid from USC. He transferred in. So
who was the kid that they had that looked like the kid had glasses on? Who was that quarterback at one time playing at Georgia? Do you remember he was playing in games like 5'10"?
Oh, yeah, the walk-on kid.
What the hell was that?
Yeah, Stetson Bennett.
Stetson Bennett, yes.
I mean,
you're Georgia. That's what you. That's the kid that you have playing quarterback.
You have five-star talent everywhere, and then you have this kid playing quarterback who's
was he a walk-on?
I believe so. I believe he was. And meanwhile, Justin Fields is going to win the Heisman Trophy at Ohio State.
I know. That's what they're after right there.
That position was allowed to trend the wrong direction, and they didn't win and cap off. Because, again, when they were about to win the national title, you're thinking, this guy's he's the heir apparent to Nick Saban.
Not be in it every year for a quarterback, Georgia?
Yeah.
Georgia, University of Georgia.
Sure. And they had him. But that's the transfer worlds of today. I mean, it's tough. I mean, if you pick Jake Fromm,
the other guy's gone.
And then there's the whole issue with Justin Fields and what a baseball player said to him and how he was treated on campus and that kind of stuff. And he decided to bolt off to Ohio State. It's fair to argue that Kirby didn't pick the right guy. And who knows if they pick Justin Fields in that spot, what success he leads them to over his time in Athens. But that was the day for Georgia yesterday. They bring in 2 5-star kids, and we'll see. But college football, 94 days away to Texas and Louisiana. Of course, right here on the Horn. We now know you were out on Friday when it was announced that is going to be a 3:30 in the afternoon kickoff.
Louisiana won't be worried about the heat.
Fans will. You will on Bevo Boulevard.
Oof.
That's going to be a little toasty. Just saying.
Well, maybe I'll jump in my prediction for September and throw you some Farmer's Almanac. I'll tell you this. It'll be hot.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. September 4th, I think.
Yeah, I'm not going to pull away.
3:30 in the afternoon.
I'm going to pull away from that one and say, oh, there's going to be just a mild September. No thanks. It'll be hot.
Yeah. Welcome to the heat. And that's all for TV. Of course, Fox TV wanted that. And we also had this story on Friday that Oklahoma was bitter. Like the AD had to put out a statement that they couldn't get because I think it was week 3 of this coming season.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska plays Oklahoma in Norman, and it's the 50th anniversary of Johnny Rogers and the game of the century. And they wanted this to be a primetime, top-billed game. They gave him 11 a.m. 11 a.m.
Welcome to the 11 a.m. slot. It's all right.
Oh, joke. They were mad. They said the Big 12, and they lobbied to get a better slot.
Does that mean Oklahoma's going to really take it out on them now?
Well, it's the old Big 8. It's rivalry renewed.
That's a crushing.
50 years from the 71 game.
Yeah, call your cousin up for that one right there.
Well, that's what Zay said, and he's right. I mean, I'll tune in to see that one. 28-0 in the first quarter.
Oh, yeah.
Oklahoma over Nebraska. because Scott Frost still hasn't gotten that program turned yet at Nebraska. We don't believe in Oklahoma could be your preseason number one. All right, we come back when we do the live music update weekly with Tom Gimble. He is the general manager of the ACL TV show. Big announcement from ACL TV and KLRU involving a pretty legendary entertainer and something that's going to happen here coming up. We'll get you details on that, plus your live music weekend as things are opening up throughout Central Texas. Pretty exciting stuff. It's B&E with you.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Wednesday on the Horn. That's right, already to the midweek. Four-day work week thing's kind of cool. Kind of like it. So, developing story out of Boston. We told you at the top of the hour, the reports that Danny Ainge is going to step aside as the director of and president of basketball operations for the Celtics after their series was ended last night to Brooklyn. And now reports that Brad Stevens expected to assume his role and maybe step aside from the coaching side. I just read a report that he's burned out from coaching since the bubble and this year and ready to do more administrative work, and that he may lead the search for the replacement for Brad Stevens. And looks like Stevens will replace Danny Ainge, who will then help hire his replacement as the bench boss in Boston as their season now is over in disappointing fashion. So that's out there. We'll keep you posted. Also, more on Texas baseball and the regional coming up, Texas football. But right now it's Wednesday, and it's bottom of the final hour, and you know it's time to go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Visit with the general manager of the worldwide beloved brand, the Austin City Limits television show. He is Tom Gimble. Hello, TG.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. I know excitement there at ACL TV. You got a taping tonight, which you can tell us about. But I saw this thing with Garth Brooks that was announced. This is pretty exciting stuff for you guys with a legendary musical entertainer.
It really is unbelievable, but it kind of speaks to just how special Studio 6A is in the world of music. The studio that's on the sixth floor there on the University of Texas campus communication building, where Austin City Limits was filmed for the first 36 years. You know, I think we've talked about that. We're moving our offices. We're leaving the University of Texas campus, and we're going to be moving to the new ACC Highland Mall campus. And Austin PBS, after 50 years, has a new home. But unfortunately, we can't pack up and take Studio 6A with us. And it's a special place. It's a certified rock and roll Hall of Fame landmark. And we want to say goodbye to it in fitting fashion. And we reached out to Garth Brooks, and we're talking about one of the biggest stars in the world. Somebody who's, you know, just coming off the Kennedy Center honors and pretty much every award and record that you could set in the music business he has. And he has agreed to come and perform for a very limited, small, intimate audience at Studio 6A on July 20th and July 21st. He's going to do two nights for us because, you know, we obviously know that the demand for this is going to be off the charts. So, yeah, Garth Brooks.
Wow.
He's going to come and help us say farewell to Studio 6A.
That is very, very cool. And sounds like Garth Brooks. I mean, he plays stadiums and huge arenas, but he also does the honky-tonks. He had that honky-tonk tour, smaller venues, kind of back to his roots, which is very cool. But good for you guys. That's awesome. And congratulations on the new studios. That's a great way to send it out. Was it Asleep at the Wheel and then Willie Nelson, the first taping there at that studio?
Yeah, that's right. You know, October 17th, 1974, Willie Nelson took the stage for the pilot episode of Austin City Limits. And then in season 36, Lyle Lovett turned the lights out on Studio 6A as our taping home. And, of course, we moved to the beautiful ACL Live at the Moody Theater, where we've been for the last 11 years. And obviously that's been a tremendous new addition to the history of Austin City Limits. And it's allowed so many people to come and see tapings. You know, those who are listening right now who were there at Studio 6A back in the day, you could only fit about 300 people in that studio. And now we can have, you know, up to 2,000 or more in at ACL Live at the Moody Theater. And, you know, there's also bathrooms and great dressing rooms, and you can, you know, all sorts of things that Studio 6A didn't have. But that was kind of part of the charm, you know, the fact that, you know, you had to take a freight elevator up there. And people also liked the free beer. We had free beer back in the day, which was a cool thing. But we love our new home. But at the same time, we're going to miss Studio 6A. And for those who have not been there, you know, we work in the building and we get to go up there from time to time for meetings. It looks the same as when Lyle Lovett stepped off that stage back in season 36. The skyline is still there. The stage is still there. The bleachers are still there. So it's going to be a really, really cool night with Garth Brooks. And tickets will be available. It is a fundraiser to support Austin PBS. You know, so they're a high dollar ticket, but you're going to get to see something that's a once in a lifetime. Seeing Garth Brooks turn the lights out on Studio 6A is about as special as it gets in music.
No doubt about that, and the performer that he is. They'll be willing to pay it because that is a once-in-a-lifetime for sure. Tom, what's our music week look like? Tom joins us and walks us through his favorite shows of the week and weekend, starting tonight through next Tuesday, and then we post all of your favorite picks onto the website so people can just make an easy click and find a show if they're looking for it on a night this week and weekend. But what are your favorite shows, including one for you guys tonight at the Moody Theater?
That's right. Yeah, we're back at it. We're taping again for season 47 tonight with Sarah Jarose. She is originally from right here in Central Texas. She's from Wimberley, but she is Grammy nominated, a wonderful country, folk, bluegrass musician. She's a singer and a songwriter. She's going to bring a special guest with her tonight, John Leventhal, who is an unbelievable musician. Is going to join Sarah on the stage. So that's going to be a great one. And for those who are not able to attend, and we haven't opened it up quite yet to where we're doing the lottery for people to enter to win free tickets, but we are offering a free live stream tonight that people can check out at 8 p.m. at acltv.com. You can watch the taping tonight with Sarah Jarose, and that's going to be a good one. We're looking forward to that. This is her second time on the show, and she's special. So we're excited about continuing our taping season tonight. And then if you want to get out and see some live music around town, this is a free show at the Long Center on Thursday night, 8 p.m. This is a series called The Drop-In, driven by Austin Subaru, and it is taking place at the Long Center. And Kalu and the Electric Joint are going to be the artists performing tonight. And then this series continues every Thursday through July 8th. You can check out free music. So that's a cool addition to our summer calendar. And then, you know, talking about Studio 6A and the history of Austin City Limits, Gary P. Nunn is going to be performing 7:30 p.m. at Pootie's Hilltop Roadhouse. Which is a great place to go see Booties. Live music and also to get some good chicken fried steak. So you can kind of do a two for one there at Pooties. But Gary P. Nunn, really most famous for writing the song London Homesick Blues, which was kind of the unofficial theme song of Austin City Limits from 1977 to 2004. So seasons 2 through 29, you would hear London Homesick Blues when you watched Austin City Limits. And Gary P. Nunn, of course, is the writer of that song. And you can check him out this Friday night at Pootie's. If you're down in the New Braunfels area, you can see Aaron Watson at the Whitewater Amphitheater on Friday night. Saturday night, a really good show at ACL Live at the Moody Theater. It's a double bill with Texas Gentleman and Matthew Logan Vasquez of Delta Spirit. So that's a good show. That's 8 p.m. ACL Live at the Moody Theater. Also 7 p.m. on Austin PBS on Saturday night, a really good double bill with the Raconteurs and Black Pumas. It's an encore episode of Austin City Limits and really well-timed that the Black Pumas are going to be on ACL TV this weekend. I went out to the second of their five sold-out shows at Stubbs last week. I got to see Tamika Jones open and then an unbelievable show by the Black Pumas. Every time these guys take the stage, they're just getting better and better. And they're going to be touring the world here now that things have opened back up. But it was just really cool to be at a 100% capacity event. It felt free. It felt open. And everybody was having such a good time. And the music on the stage could not have been better. So kind of a historic moment here in the opening up of the live music capital of the world with Black Pumas selling out Stubbs for 5 nights. Continuing back with our live music happening this week, Paul Cawthon's going to be at Green Hall on Saturday night. He's great. Flatland Cavalry is out at Nutty Brown Cafe. And then back at the Long Center for a series called Beyond the Square with Big Freedia out of New Orleans and Magna Carta from right here in Austin. Wade Bowen is going to be playing the Whitewater Amphitheater on Saturday night. And then we can stay right there on Sunday night with Travis Tritt, country superstar, is going to be at Whitewater Amphitheater. And then our music week wraps up. It makes me happy to say that this show is happening again, because it's been such a stalwart on our live music calendar here in Austin. But the Church on Monday series with Elias Haslinger and Dr. James Polk, really amazing jazz show there that takes place on Monday nights at the Continental Club Gallery. But just to say that the Continental Club is open, the Continental Club Gallery is open, Sea Boys Heart and Soul is open, the Little Longhorn Saloon is open, all the venues, Mohawk is open. So it's time to get out and see some live music. Get over to Don's Depot. You know, they were one that really struggled through the lockdown, and thankfully they're still standing. The Broken Spoke is still standing. So the Saxon Pub is open again. Get out and see some live music. It feels good. It's supporting our local community, and it's something that the musicians will certainly appreciate. They've been waiting and waiting to be able to play for folks, and now that these venues are open, it really feels like Austin is back to being Austin.
No question. Tom certainly does. Longhorns are on their way to Omaha, potentially. They got a regional this weekend, which I know you'll be paying close attention to, Tom, as a Longhorn and a Longhorn baseball fan. That's fun, and the live music all over the place. Whitewater Amphitheater with some great shows. Long Center, as you said, the smaller venues are back open. Very, very cool. Tom, we appreciate you. Thanks so much. Congratulations on pulling off the Garth Brooks thing to close down Studio 6A. That's a huge, huge get, obviously, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that. That's July 20th and 21st. But props to you guys on that, and appreciate you doing it every Wednesday.
I appreciate you, Aaron. We'll talk soon.
All right, there you go. Tom Gimbel with the breaking news. Garth Brooks going to close down the legendary Studio 6A for good as they move out of there. They moved to the A. Moody Theater 10 years or so ago. Now that's going to be quite a treat to see one of 300 people to see Garth Brooks on a couple of shows in July. Pretty cool. We'll be back. Thank you to Tom Gimbel. We'll post all of his notes, all of his picks at hornfm.com, so you can find a roadmap to your live music weekend at our website. We'll be back. We'll tee it up for the rest of the day here on The Horn, get you a reset of the top stories. It's B&E live, local, and digital, streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Wrapping it up on a Wednesday. Good stuff today. Joe Cordell was in there. He's got line one for Jay Cutler.
You heard him. You heard exactly what he said. It's your house, too. Don't leave the house. It's your house, too. Don't leave the company.
Spirited debate around Jay Cutler and his company. Divorce from the beautiful Kristen Cavallari.
It's your company, too.
No, it's not. You have a claim to it, but is that actually the right thing to do?
I think 4 years is a good deal at $6 million for the four. I think he should be satisfied. He doesn't need a lifetime deal on her jewelry shop, right?
Her jewelry brand. It's not an individual store. It's a brand. That sells jewelry, home goods. It's mostly an online shop. I'd offer him
QUC or whatever that is. QVC.
No, I mean everything's on. You can go to a store. I'm sure they have one location in Nashville or wherever they lived. But yeah, most of your stuff's done online.
Do you realize what Jay did?
Cutler.
He helped her career. He wanted to help her career by doing that Fantasy Island kind of thing with her. He's a bitterman. You know what it took for him to be on TV and do all that kind of crap? Right, Zay? Isn't he a bitterman? He's a bitter dude.
You're telling one of the worst personalities in NFL history to be on reality TV? That doesn't make any sense.
That's right. He deserves half. Now he deserves half now.
No. We had that debate because she started a jewelry brand company when they were married, and now he wants half of it, and I'm arguing that no, he didn't. Remember, he didn't even invest his own money in it. Like, is his wife. She's got a dream to start a jewelry company. He's got a bunch of money. He made $128 million in lifetime contracts. He wouldn't even back her to start it. Wait a minute, don't say that.
She probably said, I don't need you to bag me. I want to do this myself.
Okay. Well, then it's my brand. No, it's not your brand there, JJ. No.
Then you went and married me, so now it becomes our brand.
Yeah, I love that whole we and ours. I don't like either of those people. And I certainly like Jay Cutler and the weasel.
He's weaseling the money.
I saw some of that show. He didn't do anything. Like, he's living
Went on it for her. He did this for her.
It was named after her. It was called whatever. What was it called, Zay? Cavallari and Company or?
Cavallari and Jake?
Something like that, yeah. Ani.
Yeah.
Cavallari and her bum husband. What's what it was called?
Well, he had to go through that. He didn't want to do that, but he did that for her, right?
I'm doing this
for you.
Well, then
I'm giving up my bittermanship to be with you.
Got three kids. Do what's right for the kids. Let her keep the jewelry brand. You move on and go do whatever you're going to do.
She's making 12 mil. Is 6 mil a year enough for your kids? Somewhere? Someplace?
Well, I know he's had right to have a claim to it as a divorcee, but at the same time, not something I would do. That's for sure.
You're good. You're a good man. You know that? You've never been into a divorce court. When you get in there, it's like, take them. Let's go. Let's get the gloves off. Let's get after it. You know what I mean?
I hope I don't have to ever do
that.
No, don't tell you that.
No. It's cheaper to keep her.
Oh, God. Well, she didn't want to keep him. I know that.
I mean, that's a... Who said out on that? Was it her?
By the way, do we know? I believe, Zay, you follow this
internet
trendy gossip thing more than I do, but I remember they went on, this is where my memory goes. I remember that they went on a Caribbean island vacation, and it was right when COVID started, and they got stuck down there because of COVID. They couldn't get back.
Or they found out about each other.
I don't know. And then all of a sudden they came home and they got divorced. I don't know. Is that my right on this, Zay?
I'm just saying, when he retired, that's when it went south. He went on the show. Try to be personable. It's Jay Cutler, so obviously he couldn't. And then I think she realized, yeah, without football, what's your worth?
Yeah, you're a bum.
Wow.
And the Bears and the Dolphins, his last two teams, wanted to kick him out long before that.
That's true.
Okay.
You got enough of their money. You're right.
All right. The breaking news that's happened and developed in this hour is NBA related, that Danny Ainge is out in Boston as the team president. Looks like Brad Stevens is going to move into that role and leave the coaching spot and help hire the next coach. So a transition in there.
Man.
Yeah, that's a big development. We talked about both of them getting whacked if they didn't make the playoffs, and now they're losing five games to Brooklyn. But instead, Danny Ainge is stepping
up. One is going down and one is stepping up.
Yeah. And I guess that'll be a big debate. I'm sure it's raging in Boston sports radio is Brad Stevens. This is the home of Red Auerbach, man. That's what I'm talking about. Ready to take over and run. I mean, he's from Butler to Boston to now in charge of the Celtics. He knows some basketball.
We'll see.
We will see. Buck, have a wonderful Wednesday.
You too, man. Enjoy yourself the next couple days.
Yes, I'm going to be out the next couple days. Got some family in town, so we're going to be running around playing a little golf. Hopefully the weather holds, but rain coming this afternoon, it says. Isaiah Collier, tremendous work as always. Every hour podcast at hornfm.com. And remember, tomorrow on the show, when I won't be here, David Pierce.
9 o'clock, right?
David Pierce at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Normally we talk to Coach Pierce at 8:30 on Thursdays, but tomorrow they want to move it to 9. So 9 o'clock with Coach Pierce. Make sure you ask him about who's going to be the starting pitcher on Friday.
Maybe he'll let us know then.
Maybe. Who will it be? Ty Madden, Tristan Stevens, Pete Hansen against Southern on Friday. That's tomorrow as part of a Thursday edition. That will make it a Buck Off Thursday. And that should be fun. So, Buck, enjoy a couple days.
We'll see
you on Monday. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. And we'll right the ship and get back here on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. But you guys will be great over the next couple days. Every hour podcast at hornfm.com. Light the Tower is next.